We're carrying on with our series in Philippians, and if you can turn with me to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, and tonight we're going to be picking up from verse 10. Now, I don't know if you had this on your list. I got home from summer camp, and I had a number of items I had to do around the house. And one of them was sort things out. I don't know if any of you guys have been involved in sorting out over this last December break. And it's finding all this stuff and gathering all this stuff and realizing, kind of asking yourself the question, when last did I use that? And I know that Hidden Treasures has had so many items. I've watched Eula's office as she cleaned it out on Friday, so it came on Saturday. And the stuff is coming, and I know that you're busy sorting it, but don't you find and pause sometimes and we realize how much we've actually really got? I've got a confession. Do you know that I've still got a box in the roof that has been untouched since I moved to Watercliff Baptist? It's moved homes. It's been opened once or twice. But that is it. I actually have got no clue what really is in there. But I think I need it next year. And I've kept it. You know that I've been at Watercliff almost 9 years now. And that box is still there. How much stuff do we have? We've got a society at the moment that comes about consumerism. We need. Marketing agents are brilliant at doing this. We get catchphrases. Coke says, open a bottle of happiness. I don't know why they didn't do, open a bottle of diabetes. Something like that. And if you have this product, you will have more hair. It doesn't work, trust me. If you do this, girls will smack you stickant. It doesn't work either. Yeah. And all these promises, and so we have this desire, and we need more. I've openly confessed many times about my love for technology, to the point where I've gone to try to get the latest phone, and I've got my contract renewals on the days they release the phones, just so that I have the longest time with the latest phone. We need, we want, and yet we don't seem to be complacent. Comfortable with what we have. We moan about cell phone signals keep on dropping, but we forget the days of delayed calls when phoning overseas. The fact that we had to be fixed to a line and you had to carry a phone card or you had coins with you. We forget those days. We moan about delayed flights and the leg rooms, but yet we forget we're sitting on a chair flying in the air. Through that. And more, we want more, we need more. And yet we don't seem to be comfortable with what we have. And so Paul is addressing the church here in Philippians chapter 4 from verse 10. The church has provided a gift and he is grateful to them. But he doesn't even start saying thanks for the gift yet fully. He starts to thank them for other things, their faithfulness rather. And he highlights because there was something bigger there. And yet Paul highlights the fact that he's not needing necessarily that gift. Because he has learned to be comfortable with what he has, no matter what the circumstance. So how do we do that? How do we find contentment in today's life that's pushing so much? I want to read an old proverb, a Chinese proverb that says this. If you want happiness for an hour, take a nap. If you want happiness for a day, go fishing. If you want happiness for a year, go inherit a fortune. But if you want happiness for a lifetime, go help someone. What does Paul say to how to find contentment today? Let's read from verse 10. I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you have renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you have been concerned, but you have had no opportunity to show it. I'm not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content with whatever the circumstances. I know that what it is to be in need. I know what it is to have plenty. I know what it is. I have learned the secret of being content in every situation, whether well fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do everything through him who gives me strength. Yet it was good for me to share, good of you to share in my troubles. Moreover, as you as Philippians know, that in the early days of acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out from Macedonia, Not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, except only you. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid again and again, and when I was in need. Not that I am looking for a gift, but what I am looking for may be credited to your account. I have received a full payment and even more. I am amply supplied. Now that I have received for Epaphroditus the gift you have sent me, they are like a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. And my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. To our God the Father be the glory forever and ever. Amen. So how do we find contentment in a day society that seems to be highlighting so much more? Well, there's two bases here that Paul finds contentment. He finds contentment when he is both in need and also in plenty. Difficult scenarios. He's learnt the middle line here. Seeing contentment in when we have plenty. That's a wrestle. I've had the privilege of journeying alongside and getting to know some CEOs and some mining owners in Northcliffe, and seeing how they had wealth going into their houses, and they had walk-in fridges. Okay, walk-in freezers. And just journeying and yet seeing their absolute struggle, that it was not enough. They didn't have quite the peace. They hadn't made it. And watched how they wrestled. And Paul says he's been there. He's had plenty. It's been in the time that he's had more than he's needed. And yet didn't get caught up. He was content with what he had. But also the desire of needing contentment when having nothing. See, when we have nothing, sometimes it's very you can't get focus. I worked with a lot of homeless people back at Northcliffe, and it was one of the most frustrating ministries I've ever been in. And what we started doing is doing vegetable gardens, and starting with a group, and the mindset was, I was saying to the guys, dig the soil. And as they were digging the soil, they said, no, you must pay me for what I'm doing. I'm going, no, you're doing it for you. What, you're telling me to dig soil for me? And trying to guide them and saying, well, you're going to be planting seeds. You're going to be doing this. You're going to be growing what you grow. You're going to be able to sell and harvest it and plant again. And you're going to be able to do something that's going to grow beyond today. And trying to get that in a mindset. We started with a massive group and landed up with five. That's all the vision. Those that were homeless couldn't see beyond their need for today. They needed something, and they were caught by this. Paul's been in those circumstances, the situations where he wrestles between the two, and yet has found the way forward in this. Aren't we sometimes there, where we get shifted in our focus to the point of what we have is never enough, and it starts to drive a wedge in us with our relationship with the Lord? Either we don't have enough, or we have so much that we've lost perspective in it. And it starts to drive that, separate us and pull. So what does Paul say to find this? Well, two things I want to highlight is that contentment is learnt. Contentment is learnt. It says here in verse 12, I have learnt the secret of being content in any and every situation. I've learnt this. Paul didn't just make it. He didn't wake up in one day and decide, this year my New Year's resolution is this. He had to learn this. It was a process that he went through. How do we learn contentment? Well, one of the best ways I've found is by giving. Sometimes we become so focused on the need of what I need, and we lose perspective of what others need. I am so encouraged by a church that is incredibly giving to have over 40% of our income go out of this church and not be used in this church. To see what is going through the very items that have been sold at Hidden Treasures, and to see the volunteers and how they are faithful. To know that thousands is going to the ministry of looking after the orphans and looking after those that are frail from the things that we deemed as just stuff. That's been made. giving to others' needs. We've had Christmas and the time of giving incredible things. We love watching people's reactions as we give the gifts. Let us start to focus not on what we don't have, but what others don't have. What could we give? That is learning contentment. He goes on beyond this, and he's highlight that Paul's focusing on here is not necessarily in their gifts or what they've given to. It's about their investment. It's their investment, his encouragement here. He says, I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you have renewed your concern for me. The church had a concern. It wasn't just, let's think about Paul, let's send him a card. It was this deep concern that the church had to act out and do something. What was their response? They gave him plenty. As Paul says, I have ample. Yeah. He's given more than they've given more than he needed. They were concerned and they had to do something. But what was their concern? What did it mean to Paul? It wasn't that they were investing in him, but it was a renewed concern about the gospel. It was that partnership they had. You see, this church had so responded, and we see how Paul highlights this. He says, when you were acquainted with the gospel, when you experienced, when you heard the gospel, when you knew God's transforming power in your life, you partnered, you gave in response to that. It's like this. Have you ever gone to go see a show and so enjoyed it that you've taken others to go see that very same show? Or experienced something so great that you've told others about it. You put it on your Facebook, on Instagram, you took selfies of you there, and you wanted that news to get out. Well, this church was so concerned with the gospel, they had seen God's power, they had experienced His power, they came to know Him as Lord and Savior, and they wanted everyone else to know it too. And so what did they do? They invested in Paul. Paul was not known to take gifts for preaching or going to the churches, but did rely on the gifts from others to keep this ministry going. And this church was so concerned with the gospel. So Paul is highlighting here your renewed concern. I rejoice in it greatly. Not that you finally remembered me, but because it's showing such spiritual maturity in you. It's coming, you're stirring, that concern is coming out, and you're going back to investing in the gospel in this. You want to see God be known. See, we need to look at what we're investing in. How do we learn contentment? What are you investing in? What is the reason why we need that stuff? What are we trying to do with it? What trap are we caught in? What lie are we following? What's hooked us? See, when we want to invest in something, we're willing to sacrifice so much to get it. I remember wanting to go see a friend in Durban. They had moved down there, and I was concerned that he would become a Shark supporter, so I felt as a kid I needed to go and see him. And I remember saving up so much. I even went without Nando's for months. Without sweets, withdrawal symptoms. But I did it, why? Because that trip was so much more important. What is so much more important for us? What are we investing in? This church was investing in the gospel. We need to renew our focus. Contentment is learnt also by our thankfulness. Sometimes we need to pause and be reminded of what we have. Now, I know I have used this as an illustration before, but I want to highlight it again. I took a group of teenagers to Lesotho on a missions trip. And just before we went, one of the young teens was fighting with her mom about things that she needed, and pocket money never was enough, and all sorts stretched out. We went on this mission trip and worked in the orphanage. And she came back, and a week later, she was giving her sister a lecture about that she's got too many toys and too many things. Sometimes we need to be getting that perspective. Are we really grateful for what we have? it needs to be thankfulness. Paul had learned contentment no matter what the circumstance, no matter what the situation was. I found this, and it says this, that happiness depends on the actions of people. Happiness is temporary, however, and happiness is based on feelings. But however, contentment is based on a faith. Contentment is finding joy no matter what the circumstances. And contentment is allowing others to live their life. Happiness is based on the things that are external, but contentment is based on the things that are internal. Contentment is learned. Are we learning to be content? Contentment, secondly, contentment is a matter of who you trust. Contentment is a matter of who you trust. See, Paul goes on to say that I have learned the secret of being content in every way, in every circumstance, whether fed or hungry. Whether living in plenty or want, I can do everything through Him who gives me strength. How often have we shared that verse? I can do everything who gives me the strength. I've shared that, and I've often quoted that before going into a preschool class. I can do everything who gives me strength. And we cling on the focus on this, but this is compounded by the will of God. Because I want to be about God's business, because I want to be about seeking Him, because I want to do everything for Him, He gives me the strength. For Paul to be saying this means that he is weak. He's not saying, when I'm strong, I know God's strength. He means that his absolute dependency is in God. He's not worried whether the church gives or not gives. He's not worried about the finances. He's not worried about his food. He's not worried whether there's something in the fridge. Well, there's no more Weetabix, Tim. You know, he's not worried about those things. Why? Because he's absolutely dependent on Christ. Yeah. Goes off to kind of highlight the focus here. It was almost just before the people left Egypt. They took the lamb and they smeared the blood on the doorpost as protection. The lamb was smeared. And they would eat of that lamb to provide the strength to go on. We can come to know Christ through the cross. We can rely on Him for everything, who knows us, and we can trust in Him. And Paul doesn't highlight certain things. I can trust in God for everything. No, I can do everything, every single thing, only through Him. I've got to trust in Him through His provision. I've got to lean onto Him. God who knows best. Paul has decided not to be caught up by the daily things that distract him from the bigger mission that God has got planned. That He is going to do this. We've got to rely on Him, rely on His strength. Vernon McGee writes this, and it says, "Whenever, whatever Christ has for you to do, He will supply the power. Whatever gift He gives you, He will give you the power to exercise that gift. A gift is a manifestation of the Spirit in the life of the believer. As long as you function in Christ, you will have the power. This certainly does not mean that He is putting into your hand unlimited power to do anything you want to do. Rather, that He will give you the enablement to do the things in context of His will for you." See, let's be content. How? By trusting in God. Contentment is a matter of trust. God, I'm relying on You and no one else. I had a friend that one day it was really hot at school, and he came out with a whole bag of ices. You know, the kind of ones that you get at summer camp? And he gave us frozen ices, and this was brilliant. He was the best person ever. And he said, as we finished, he said, "Do you guys want another one?" So we said, "Yes, let's grab another one." And he disappears and he comes back and then he goes. And it was only a little bit later, one of the guys around us said, "But where are you getting this from? The tuck shop's closed." landed up in the south of Johannesburg. He had broken into the one kitchen where all the sports stock was kept. And this was all for the teams that were going on to sports, different sports activities. This was for them to take with. We had an endless supply, and he was giving it all to us so that if he got caught, we all were involved in this thing. Matter of who you trust. Say, God, I want to trust in you. God, help me to do that. Not to be reliant on my job, not to be reliant on others, but to continue in my relationship with you, a matter of trust that you know what's best. Paul is saying this in the time of need. Where is Paul? Expressed this last week. Where's Paul as he's saying this? Contentment. He's under house arrest. He's chained to a Roman soldier. Imagine this. Imagine writing some of these things. Saying, I'm content. I'm not saying, please give deodorant. The guy next to me is terrible. Send the best attorney that you can. And not is he in this. He's waiting for his fate to find out if he is on death row. Whether they're going to take his life, and yet he is saying, Christ and Christ alone. I can do all things through him. What's caught our focus? What are we finding happiness in rather than contentment? What can we get rid of? What's distracting us from the bigger purpose? God has got something in plan. Paul ends off by saying this and reminds them that kind of reminds us that we can never ever outgive God. Firstly, he says that their gifts were like a fragrant offering, able to sacrifice and pleasing to God. They gave plenty. They gave out of the right hearts, this church. And it was so pleasing to God. But what does he say? And he uses this accountancy kind of writing here, balancing the fact. And he says, but my God, he has a personal relationship. Paul knew who God was. And he knew that God is able. My God will meet all of your needs. My God will be able to meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ. We can never outgive God. Let us place our trust in him. Let's move from trying to seek and find happiness, title, and running after many things, and move to a contentment. Because contentment is a matter of faith in our Lord, who is able, putting our all in him. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for who you are. We thank you that you call us to greater things. And forgive us for sometimes being caught up by the distraction of so many things that demand our attention. So many things have caught us up, feeling that we need to achieve that or do that or be that or have that. But yet you know us. Help us to know your heart. Help us to be trusting in you, knowing your will, your direction. Father God, we pray that you would guide us. Pray this in your name. Amen.